there's the fanfare. That means it's time to go off to the movies with Madeline. The movie this week, Challengers. Interesting looking film here. A lot of sports, a lot of action, a lot of romance, a lot of physicality.
Yeah, love triangle movie. Yeah. This is what this is. Opened at $15 million, which is... that's a strong opening for kind of an original screenplay, an original film directed by kind of an art house director, Luca Guadagnino, who directed Call Me By Your Name, Bones and All, Suspiria. So it's a very interesting opening. It probably is driven by Zendaya being in the lead performance. She's a star. There's no question. She's got on-screen charisma. I didn't like this movie as well as a lot of the critics are liking it. I think it's one of these all dressed up with nowhere to go movies. Kind of like Saltburn last year. Now, this is better than Saltburn, which I despised last year, the Barry Keoghan film set in England. But I really think it's all dressed up with nowhere to go. It's over-directed. It feels like you're watching a glossy sports commercial for 2 hours and 11 minutes, which is the running time is way too long for this movie. I think it's over-directed. I think it's kind of pretentious. It's essentially a love triangle. Zendaya, who gets involved with these doubles partners, tennis players. It starts in college, kind of. We'll get to the timeline in a minute. Played by Mike Feist, who was so good as Riff in Spielberg's West Side Story, and Josh O'Connor, who plays his playing partner, who plays Patrick Zwig. Feist's character is named Art Donaldson. So if you've seen the trailer, you know they're both infatuated with Zendaya. She's this tennis prodigy in college. They're college players as well. They're infatuated with her. Who's going to end up with her? It's never really known from the trailer who's going to end up with her, so we're not going to reveal that here. But I just think the film is too long. I think the timeline is so confusing, Ashley. It starts out in 2019, and then suddenly we go back to 2006 when they're all in college. And then in between that, there are flashbacks within flashbacks, you know, 2 weeks earlier from this. Where are we at now? It's a really confusing timeline, but ultimately when this movie ends, and this is probably a fault of the direction and the script, I really did not care about any of these three characters, and that's something you have to have. Even if you have characters that are unsavory, you have to care about them and what happens to them. At the end of this movie, I just didn't. And I really never bought that the Feist character, who ends up like winning Grand Slam titles, he's such a passive character, and the way Feist plays him, the way he's written in the screenplay by Justin Kuritskis, he's very passive, and I never quite got in his character that he was that driven to be this good, and yet he can't beat his best friend, which is another subplot that's going on in this movie. They're friends, they're rivals, they both want the same woman, et cetera, et cetera. And it's very strange. I never got the feeling this guy, when the film starts, is going to be a Grand Slam winner because he's so passive and doesn't appear to be completely driven and has a hard time beating his friend, who he's supposed to be more talented than. That was a real concern for me. Now, friends of mine who've seen it say, look, Matt, it's a love triangle movie. The sports is background. But I am a stickler in sports movies for realism. And he does not appear to be the guy that could go out and win these tournaments.
Does it get into sports psychology at all?
Yes.
Where, like, maybe he couldn't beat the best friend, and that's what fueled him to become a Grand Slam winner.
They get into that a little bit, but not not too much. I think the fact that they both love Zendaya plays into this. But again, with the flashbacks within the flashbacks, I never quite got that flick of the switch moment, Ashley, where Art Donaldson becomes not just a college doubles player with Josh O'Connor. He becomes a guy who just won Wimbledon in Australia and wants to win the U.S. Open. There's never that moment. That's the weird thing about Ashley. There's never that moment within the flashbacks where he becomes the better player than his partner. And, of course, they're both in love with Zendaya. Who ends up with her? You got to go see the movie. And I actually don't think this is really Zendaya's movie. I mean, she's the star, but her performance is curiously muted. The film is almost built more around the guys, this kind of bromance, this rival. And so if this is a big star vehicle for her coming off, because let's face it, the other movies she was in, you know, Spider-Man, Dune, she's part of like a franchise, a big deal that kind of sells itself, not necessarily on her name. This is built for her. And yet it feels like Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist's movie more than Zendaya's movie. And I thought that was a little strange, too. So those are my issues with the movie. But it's wonderfully shot. It's glossy. It looks good. It's like a long-form sports commercial, but it's also too long.
You know, just a quick Google search described it as a romantic sports drama. And I had to go, I don't know that I've ever heard of that genre of film before. Are there similar kinds of films out there?
There probably are. So I give them credit for making a movie that really, I'm not sure needed to be made, if that's what the word I'm using. It's an unusual, it's definitely an unusual narrative structure, Ashley, for sure.
Yeah.
The flashbacks get interesting, too, because when they flash back to these guys in college, I mean, Feist is 32, O'Connor's 33. They do not look like just out of high school tennis players. Zendaya does, but they don't. So, again, as I've talked about many times on this show over the years, Ashley, age in movies is a conundrum, especially when you have flashbacks and the same actors are playing the same characters in flashbacks or flash forwards. Not a huge deal breaker for me, but just putting that out there. I thought the film started slowly, too. It really took a while to get into it for me.
Do you get a sense of who the intended audience is?
That's another really good question. They did a good job marketing it with Zendaya, so I'm not sure.
I mean, they were calling it the sexiest movie ever made.
No. I think the movie is geared toward younger audiences who might want to go see Zendaya and Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor. The music is really good by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, but there are scenes where they could have edited that music like, turn the volume down so I can hear the dialogue. Another big issue in movies for me in the last 5 to 10 years. So overall, it's slick looking, but I'm not sure it has any place to go. And that's a good question, Ashley. Who is this movie made for? I don't think it's made for sports fans. I think it's made for younger audiences who want to see a love triangle.
Well, Oscar trivia for the week, Zendaya has a Nigerian ancestry, as does an Oscar winner from a movie 2006, Oscar year 2007.
So she won an Oscar?
I didn't say she.
Oh, okay. Jaimin Hansu? Nope. Lupita Nyong'o is not who you're looking for because she won for 12 Years a Slave in 2013.
And also, she's Kenyan. And this, I will say, he's not from Nigeria. Even his parents aren't from Nigeria. So it does go back a little further.
2006 Oscar release year 2006. Let's see. That's The Departed year and The Queen. I don't think I'm going to get this.
The Last King of Scotland.
Oh, Forrest Whitaker.
All right.
Okay.
We've been to the movies with Matt O'Lean.